Starting tomorrow and running through next weekend, visitors to Independence Mall in Philadelphia will leave the comfort of their homes to take in an exhibit conveying the lives of refugees forced from home. Let's look at the program with Dr. Africa Stewart, who joins me now. Doctor, thanks for being here on NewsWorks tonight.
Thank you for inviting me.
This is a Doctors Without Borders program, and I'm going to let you have at it the formal French name.
Oh, yes. We are a French organization. So in French, our name is Médecins Sans Frontières, which is MSF.
Which is Doctors Without Borders.
Exactly. It sounds a lot cooler than DWBs.
It sure is.
Yeah.
So tell me about this exhibit specifically starting tomorrow on the Mall.
So what you'll see starting at the entrance, beginning there, you're assigned a country. So each guest is assigned a new citizenship and a status that goes along with that. So they are refugees, they are asylum seekers, they're internally displaced persons.
And is it generic or is it specifically from Sudan or Iraq or Afghanistan or Syria?
We have five countries that we're focusing on. Mm-hmm. So each guest has one of those five countries that will be assigned. And those are the countries that throughout the exhibit, the patients that we've encountered and sort of the stories that we're telling throughout the day come from one of these regions. So we're able to highlight the difference in different statuses and also citizenship and how that plays into the refugee experience.
It's hard to imagine, though, folding in the anxiety that must exist just by virtue of being a refugee, leaving behind and going to who knows where.
Yeah, that's part of it. And it's also, we address it with our mental health component. So at each stop, you know, along the way, if you encounter an MSF facility, also there's mental health workers that are there that are trained. But it's also very much, it speaks to the thing that moms have always done, which is whatever it takes to keep their babies safe. So when we speak with patients that have traveled these distances and it seems, you know, impossible that during a pregnancy and with a toddler, you know, getting hundreds and hundreds of miles, and the moms always have that sense of, well, I had to, and so I did. And that part of it is really what ties each of those countries in. You'll hear people from South America and all the way across continents with very similar perceptions of their journey, which is we had to. Where we were wasn't safe anymore, so we had to. And then sort of going from there, addressing the different climates, because that factors into their stressors and their access to food, depending on when they're traveling. So it all factors into how we see them as patients and how we go about taking care of them.
Atlanta-based, welcome back to Philadelphia. But
thank
by definition,
you.
When you're overseas, it's acute care. You're certainly not following up long-term with a given patient.
I am not, because I am home with my children. So I do shorter blocks because I want to be a part of their lives as well and not miss this part of them growing up. But from a month-to-month, even year-to-year standpoint, it is always the goal to try to turn the hospital, the facility back over to the locals. So we look at it as we're always training the people that are vested in being here. So when the cleaner of the hospital and the midwife and a logistician, they bring their wives and their children to the hospital when they aren't well. And that it makes me proud because I can say, okay, because the people who see everything, who know how this place works, they bring their family. And that's how you make a long-term sustainable project. You make it something that the locals want to work. They want to make sure that this place is ours.
The Center for High Impact Philanthropy, based at Penn here in Philadelphia, cites Doctors Without Borders as being one of the esteemed institutions in terms of getting bang for the buck. Is the exhibit here intended in part as a call to action for those attending, either in terms of devoting time, services, or money?
No, I would, instead of a call of action, I would think of it more as us bearing witness, sort of answering that voice that says, if you see something, you say something. And when we're in the field and we're having these conversations amongst ourselves and field workers, part of the responsibility is when you come home, we also continue these conversations. So that conversation got really loud recently because we were talking about the refugee experience and how we were going to address it. And more of us were coming back having the same conversation. So we decided we wanted to do something that would allow us to bear witness, to say and show people what is happening in the world and give it that personal touch. And that's part of who we are. That's part of why MSF even came to be, because we wanted to speak out. We wanted to make sure that we came home and did as much at home for the people in need as we do in the field.
What's your specific role or task starting tomorrow?
I will be a tour guide. So from beginning to the end of the tour, which is about an hour, we will go from station to station, talk about what makes people leave their homes when they just make that decision and how they go about it and the distances involved and the legal issues. And then we'll also talk and bring it all in, because the medical needs mirror the circumstances on the road. So we'll see chemical burns for people whose boat tipped over because the gas floats to the top. And as they're waiting for rescue, there's very particular burns that people get. So that's part of what we're doing in the field, is addressing the hypothermia for folks who are in the water, or malaria for people who have been hiding in the bush, sort of trying to get from one place to another, dehydration, and certainly malnutrition, especially with the children as they're traveling. So that's part of the exhibit, sort of tying it all together. What are people experiencing? And then how, as a humanitarian organization, we meet the needs of the people where they are and honoring the fact that they may be somewhere else in a couple of days.
Cite a specific example.
So this was first mission. I landed and I had never been across the Atlantic Ocean. So this was all, you know, very new and exciting. And we were taken immediately to the hospital and sort of meeting the staff and how are you? And
where did you live?
This is in Awil, Sudan. So the northern part of South Sudan, 2 or 3 days walk from what would become the border. So we had a patient who had been seen by one of the midwives a day or so before. She thought there was something going on. She wanted me to see the patient. But they had walked for a very long time. They had come from the other side of what would be the international border. And there's concerns with, you know, are we going to be able to go back? Because now that this is a new country, is it possible to get a visa? And all of that sort of uncertainty. So they packed up their children and left everything that they knew, because something was wrong and she needed to seek medical care. The issue with leaving their land is that they had another child that had died. So that child was buried on this land. So they're not sure if they'll ever get back. And that was, you know, through the translator and sort of watching the patient speak with the translator, and just the calm, the resolve of, you know, listening to her tell this story. So, you know, I examined her, and the baby has an anomaly that's not compatible with life. So, you know, having to deliver bad news is part of what I do. And I never look forward to it, but I do feel that it needs to be done right. And I'm the one who has to do it. So it's part of the job, and I accept it. But it's hard to do through a translator without the inflections of your native language and sort of what I'm used to doing with an American patient. And again, her face looks calm and she's nodding, and, you know, they're going back and forth, and it seems, and she looked right at me and smiled. And I figured, of course, that the translator is not translating, right? So I say to him, "What did you say to her? Like, I'm a little upset because this is hard, and, you know, I'm upset that it hasn't been done correctly." So he relays exactly what I said to him, and that's what he said. So what, you know, there's a disconnect here. What does this mean? What I wasn't understanding is that they were so glad to be on free soil that they thought that the idea of this baby being born in a free country and even buried in free soil was worth all that they left. That, for them, was the most that they could offer any of their children. And it just never occurred to me. It was just that, you know, that you don't know what you don't know, right? And watching them tell the translator again, "Thank you, our child will be born on free soil, that when this is all over, our child will be buried in peace." It meant the world to them. And it meant maybe never going home, never going back to a family plot, and, you know, sort of losing the cattle and all of the equivalent of wealth that they had, you know, built up and saved up for all of their lives. They're going to make a new life here, but this life will be peaceful and it'll be free and it will be worth it. And that was the beginning of realizing that I knew nothing, that I had been training and I had thought I was just so smart and connected with my patients. And it turns out I've lived a life that that is full of assumptions and never ever thought where I would bury my children.
Dr. Stewart, thanks so much for joining us on NewsWorks tonight.
Thank you.
Dr. Africa Stewart of Doctors Without Borders, a.k.a.
Médecins Sans Frontières.
And Forced From Home exhibit gets underway tomorrow on Independence Mall.